let's go a different direction. You started off by talking about the genealogies of Jesus and how one of the genealogies listed five women. That's a different direction. What would you say, there's anything unique about the women that are listed in the genealogy of Jesus, and do those teach us anything about Jesus?
Okay, very good. Yes, these genealogies that, or these women that are mentioned in Matthew's genealogy, you have Rahab, you have Bathsheba that is referred to, you have Tamar, you have Mary. There's a diverse group, and I think what it shows is the fact that within the genealogy of Jesus, there is Gentiles that are given opportunity, and there's grace given, and that God is able to use shame, God is able to use guilt, and he's able to use those who are living in pretty difficult and terrible circumstances, and Ruth, and of course, I think that that emphasizes the grace of God, that even in those examples of women who, it was not a popular thing for women to be mentioned in genealogies, as we noted, but it does emphasize that God is able to use them. Now they're not used as the main line, that will obviously the main mention. They're mentioned in connection with men, but they're mentioned nonetheless. So.
Thank you, brother. I really agree with what you said at the beginning, and just want to emphasize it again, that genealogies are important, especially if you're studying through the book of Genesis. Every genealogy given in the book of Genesis serves some significant purpose, and I thank you for emphasizing that. I know that it is quite a temptation to run through them and skip over them, difficult names to pronounce sometimes, but I think that they are written for our learning of something important. So concerning these two genealogies, Matthew, of course, who was a Jew and wrote a genealogy to prove a particular point, a particular purpose. Luke, who was probably a Gentile, a Greek, who wrote his genealogy for a particular purpose. Could you talk for a minute about why Matthew starts with Abraham and why Luke goes all the way back to Adam, and ultimately, of course, Adam is the son of God?
Okay. That's a good question, and that's important because, again, they write from different perspectives. They write for different audiences. Matthew pictures Jesus as the king. And the king would come, or the fulfillment of Abraham's promise, and the promise to Abraham, and that's why I believe Matthew focuses on fulfillment of prophecy, and he focuses on the prophets more than most writers do, and his Jewish audience would be concerned about Abraham, and that's why he begins it saying Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and so that's, I think, why he's focusing more on the royal line. Luke, his audience is, like you mentioned, Luke is a Gentile, probably the only Gentile writer in the Bible. And his audience is more diverse. It's a universal audience. And he's going to picture Jesus as the son of man and with a common lot of all humanity. And he's going to appeal to that commonality by showing that Jesus is connected to humanity by tracing the origin of humanity all the way back to Adam and ultimately God himself. So I think that's the difference, their perspective and their audience.
Well, Brother, I'd like to see if I caught everything that you said. Because when stuff like this gets talked about, at times my brain kind of turns to mush when I hear all these names and Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Kaniah, who are all the same person, it looked like, or just with three different names.
Jehoiachin is also referred to Jeconiah and Kaniah. The Jehoiachin's father was Jehoiakim. So it's a little confusing in that regard.
About like trying to figure out the dictators of North Korea. Kim and Ken and who knows who else. Well, I've written down what I think is a short summary of what you said, and I'd like you to tell me if I understand this correctly. Because basically, you know, the reason this matters is all of us who are believers in the Bible, if somebody comes up to us and they say, now, you got two books that claim to tell the family of Jesus, and you go back one generation, and they start crossing each other, and they don't have the same people. I mean, that there's a contradiction in the Bible, and most of us wouldn't have any idea what to do. So it looks like what you say is that Matthew and Luke follow two different sons of David, leading to Joseph and Mary, respectively. And this is an example of God's providence to overcome a historic curse, which, if left unresolved, would have resulted in a contradiction.
That's right.
So it's not really a contradiction at all. It's actually God's divine, wonderful work, ultimately leading to the virgin birth, a miracle, that bypassed a contradiction. If it weren't for the things Jimmy has pointed out, there would have been a contradiction in the Bible that would have been unanswerable. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Michael Kahn.
Just for a clarification, means that Nathan was a son and Solomon was a son, did that still remain in the tribe of Judah?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely, yeah. David was of the tribe of Judah, and all of his sons would have been. So that would not have disqualified Jesus from being the son of David, which was really the promise.
Okay. Anyone else? Brother, you have any closing comments?
Well, like I said at the beginning, I know that this can be an uninteresting study for people, uninteresting for people to read through. And Shahe mentioned, you know, sometimes we skip over it. But it is very important, and it was extremely essential for Jesus to be able to prove his lineage. And this is something that is referred to throughout the New Testament. And I'll just close with the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome in his introduction here. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. He goes on and he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ.